All right, take your Bibles and let's go to the book of John now. Take your Bible and go to John 16, please, if you will. And we're going to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And our theme for the year is for the faith. And we're to be good soldiers of the cross. You should earnestly contend for the faith, as you see on the board or on the screens, which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 1:3. And that's what we're trying to do. And so we are talking about our faith. If we're going to contend for the faith, we need to know what the faith is. So today we're reminded of our faith in the Holy Spirit. So just mark your place there and hold it in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. Now imagine if you're walking with Jesus in his public ministry. If you're walking with him in his public ministry and you're seeing him heal those that are sick and raise the dead and cause the blind to see, and you're enjoying that ministry of Christ, his 3-year public ministry, and you're thinking, we're going to have a lot of years together, a lot of time together. And as you think about that, you're all of a sudden you're getting a message from Christ, and he says to you, I have some news for you. I'm going away. I'm not going to stay. I'm going to be crucified, buried, and I'm going to arise, and then I'm going to heaven. Well, can you imagine how those apostles felt, how those disciples felt, when they thought they were going to have him there and they were going to be following him and all these great things were going to continue to go on? Then all of a sudden he says, I'm going to be gone. Well, they're thinking, I'm sure, that you just can't leave, Lord. There's no way. We cannot do without you. But Jesus taught them and told them that they needed to understand that he needed to go away. And there would be someone who would come that would not be limited to a physical body like Jesus had, even in his earthly body and his glorified body. In other words, he could only be at one place at one time. And so he says, it is good that I'm going away, because now I'm going to be able to send someone who is equal with me, co-equal with me, and he will indwell all believers everywhere, and the Holy Spirit will give us a far unlimited plan. And so we're able to have him, God with us, God indwelling us, and then go with us everywhere we go. The Holy Spirit is with us. So it was good that that took place. He wants us to have power. The question that comes in a portion of the lesson is, do you think you're experiencing the power? And you'll have to answer this for yourself. Do you think you're experiencing the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Are you experiencing the power, the presence, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God? We read about where in one church someone saw a great banner stretched over to one side, and on that banner was red and orange banner, very eye-appealing and would catch your attention. And on that banner it said, Come Holy Spirit, Hallelujah. And then printed under it, it was an embroidered flame, which was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But right under that, ironically, there was a sign that said, Fire extinguisher. And I think that a lot of Christians do not understand the power that we have in the Holy Spirit, and instead of appropriating that power, we extinguish that power. We do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives like we should. Now let's look at some of the truths regarding the Holy Spirit. Maybe it will remind us, of course, and help us to understand who he is. What about the assignment of the Holy Spirit? John 16 describes Jesus sending the Holy Spirit into the lives of believers, sending him to all that are saved, and he is on assignment. The Father sent Jesus to the earth, and then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. So, A, under that in your books, he was sent by Jesus Christ upon his departure. He was sent by Jesus Christ upon his departure. Now look at John 16 in verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I, Jesus, will send him unto you." So who sends the Holy Spirit? He is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember that you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. And all three of them have always existed together. There's never time the Holy Spirit did not exist, coexist with the Father and with the Son. But now there was a new day coming, a new thing, a whole new significance. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come to people and he would come upon them briefly and go away. But in the New Testament now, something was going to be different. The Holy Spirit was going to come and indwell us and be with us and give us that everyday dynamic, that everyday power that we need in order to accomplish what we want to accomplish for the glory of God. And he is our constant companion. I never go anywhere alone. I always have the Holy Spirit with me. Always. Don't you? Do you have the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you go? Well, certainly if you're saved, you do. You do not get rid of him. He was sent by Jesus and he indwells every believer. And then B under that, if you have a booklet and you're outlining this, he was sent to minister to and through Christ's followers. He was sent to minister to and through Christ's followers. Sent to minister to us and through us. Two different things. One of the ways that he does that he ministers to us, is to comfort the believer. To comfort them. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. In verse 7, the Comforter will not come unto you unless I leave. He refers to the Holy Spirit as the divine Comforter. Four times when he was talking to his disciples, four different times in John chapters 14 through 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit and his comforting power. Back up just a little bit and look at John 14, 16. He said in that verse, John 14, 16, "And I will pray the Father, I'll ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." There he calls him again the Comforter. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, he says in this verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient that I go away, for if I don't, the Comforter will not come." And so we understand and we see that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and grasp that word, that he is there to comfort us. Now, Jesus knew that we as his followers would have problems. He knew that we would have trials and difficulties. The television evangelists that tell you once you get saved you'll have no more problems, you'll be wealthy and healthy and well and wise all the time, they don't get that out of the Bible. They make that up and they use it to fleece money so they can bring a lot of money to them. That's why most of them are multimillionaires, living in multi-million dollar homes throughout our country and around the world, because they teach a false doctrine and people fall for that. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew we were going to have problems and difficulties and trials, and he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And he says in Psalm 46:1 that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of need. Now, I've found that to be true. How about you? That Jesus is always a very present help in a time of need and in the presence of the Holy Spirit where he indwells us. I remember my sister's here, and she, of course, obviously would remember this when our brother was killed in a car wreck. Well, we needed some comfort, and people tried, and they meant well, and we had friends and relatives and acquaintances at our church who said nice things. But I want to tell you who gave us the most comfort and gave my mom and daddy the comfort to sustain us was the Holy Spirit of God. And only through him could we make it through that time. I remember the doctor walking, the nurse walking into the waiting room where I was waiting for Carolyn to have our second child, Nicole. The nurse said, "Reverend Weaver," and I said, "I'm Pastor Weaver." She said, "Whatever you do, don't leave here." And I thought, what in the world is going on? And she looked troubled on her face, her demeanor. She went away, and a little bit later, as I sat there for about 30 minutes, I was thinking, what's going on? But the Spirit of God was comforting my heart not to be afraid, not to worry. And then they came back. The doctor was with her. He wore a bow tie, and they stood in the hall, and they said, they motioned for me to come out, and I came out. He said, I have good days and I have bad days. This is not a good day. And he told us about the physical problem that our daughter had. But I want to tell you, even though it was a very difficult time, the Holy Spirit was there. And he ministered to us throughout that whole process. And I could give you a lot of other illustrations. And I'm sure some of you are thinking of some of those times where only the Holy Spirit could comfort you. You lost your husband. You lost your wife. You lost a child. You lost a grandchild. Who's going to help you and see you through those times? It's not going to be Freudian teaching. It's going to be the Holy Spirit of God. And he'll see you through. And so we need to lean on him. So he comes to comfort us and he comes to teach us. We have a great teacher. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." The Holy Spirit is the master teacher. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And he also said that in verse 13 of our text verses, John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." By the way, he never contradicts the Bible. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Bible. He will guide you into all truth. I've had people tell me some outlandish, crazy, wild things that they said God led them to do. And I could say to them, no, he didn't lead you to do that. The Holy Spirit didn't lead you to do that. Well, they say, why? I said, because that's a contradiction to the Bible. And the Holy Spirit never contradicts the truth, never contradicts the Bible. Your experience is not what you go by. You go by the truth of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is always going to back up and teach the truth. He'll teach us truth that we need to know if we ask him to show us, and he will remind us of truth. How many times have you faced some issues in life, maybe temptations, maybe trials, or whatever else, and the Spirit of God called to your mind a verse of Scripture? Or maybe two or three verses of Scripture. And he just brought those to your mind. It was exactly what you needed. And it comforted you and helped you out during that time. So he teaches us the Bible. And many times he reminds us of some things if we'll just listen to him. And then he came to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to minister to us and through us. So he wants to glorify Jesus. 14 of John 16. "He shall glorify me," Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples. "For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." He shall glorify me. That's one of the jobs and office works of the Holy Spirit. Does not mean he's inferior. to God the Father, the Son. It just simply means that is his office. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Didn't mean he was inferior to the Father. It just meant that was his office, and that's the way the Trinity was structured. So he has come to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is his responsibility. He lifts up the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of mankind. Whenever you witness to somebody, the Holy Spirit's job is to cause the people to see Christ and for Christ to be glorified. A Sunday school teacher that is teaching, the Holy Spirit helps that Sunday school teacher to lift up Christ and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. As a preacher preaches, believe you me, I want the Holy Spirit to help me to lift up Christ and to hide behind the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let others see Jesus in me, and let them see Jesus in you. And so the Holy Spirit does all of these things to exalt Jesus Christ, to lift him up, because that's the only way they'll ever be saved. And he works on the hearts of lost people. All right, now, secondly, the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Attribute, according to the dictionary, is an inherent characteristic. An inherent characteristic. That is some kind of quality that is there. And so the Holy Spirit's attributes, the Holy Spirit's qualities, are found in the Scripture. What are his qualities? What are his attributes? A, his attributes express deity. Deity. We must understand the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Father is deity, the Son is deity, and the Holy Spirit is deity, and those attributes are taught in the Scripture. Christ was born, and the Spirit is his forerunner, the Holy Spirit. Christ is baptized, and the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness to that. Christ is tempted, and who is there? The Holy Spirit is there to lead him. Christ ascends to the Father's throne on high, and the Holy Spirit comes back in his place. So number one, he is eternally existent. The Holy Spirit is eternally existent. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, capitalized, the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Secondly, he is omnipresent. That means he is present everywhere, in every direction, omnidirectional. We have microphones, we call them omnidirectional. That means it picks up all around. And so the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, everywhere present at one time. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Listen to it. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Where am I going to go to escape or get away from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art thou. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art thou. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Nowhere we can get away from the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He is omnipresent. He is here right now. He is all around us in this room. He indwells every true believer that is in this Sunday school class. Not only is he omnipresent, he is omnipotent. Potent means powerful, omni, all-powerful. Luke 1:35, the Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That is the Holy Spirit. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He has all power. Number four, he is omniscient. Science is knowledge, omni, all knowledge. He is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit knows everything the Father knows. He knows everything Jesus knows. 1 Corinthians 2:11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? Nobody knows you except your spirit. Nobody else really knows you except your spirit, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows everything the Father knows. So he is omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Number five, he imparts life. He imparts life. The Holy Spirit, 8:11. But if the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, the Father, the Son were involved, but the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. One of these days we're going to come out of the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit, who has the power to resurrect. Amen. That's a great day to think forward to. Maybe we'll go in the rapture. If not, don't worry about it. Elements are, it doesn't matter whether you're burned up in the fire or you were buried at sea or lifted down in a casket, because God will take care of all of that, and the Spirit of God will resurrect us, and he has that power to do it. He also authored the Scriptures, even the verbal plenary teaching of the Word of God. Verbal means word for word, each word, all of the words. Plenary means all. Verbal plenary, all of the words that the Holy Spirit gave were inspired. I believe I have a wholly inspired book today. I'm not a Dalmatian. A Dalmatian theologian believes it's inspired in spots. I don't believe it's inspired in spots. I believe it's inspired from Genesis in the Word of God. The original autographs do not exist as far as we know today. Preserved his word, verbal plenary, we believe in inerrancy of the Scripture. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came, wasn't something that a man wrote down like Shakespeare or Dante or some of those. The prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, that's why we have the Scriptures that are inerrant and preserved for us today. And then, be under that, his attributes exhibit personality. We do not, unfortunately, there's one place in our Bible that is not the best translation there, but the Holy Spirit is a person, not some force. The force is there. The force is around. No, he is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person and characteristics of a person. He has what is called the mind. He has the intellectual ability to know things. We don't have time to read all of these verses. You'll have to look them up, but I think they're in your material. 1 Corinthians 2:11. He has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. He has the volitional power to make choices. 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Holy Spirit gives to us all the gifts that he wants to, and he gives to whomever he wants to certain gifts. To others, he gives other gifts. That's his choice. He has volition. He has emotions. He has the emotional capacity to feel things. Romans 15:30. He does that. So he possesses the characteristics of a person, and then he performs the actions of a person. He is a person. He performs the actions of a person. What does he do? Well, he loves. That's a person. He teaches. John 14:26. He guides. Romans 8:14. He intercedes. Romans 8:26. He speaks. Revelation 2:7. And he calls and commissions men. Acts 13:2 and 20:28. These are all actions of a person, not some odd influence that's floating around somewhere. He possesses the characteristics and also performs actions of a person. Then he receives the treatment of a person. The Bible says he can be reverenced. He can be rebelled against. He can be blasphemed. He can be lied to. Acts 5:3. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. Acts 7:51. He also can be obeyed, Acts 10, 19 through 21. then the Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. And he can be spited, Hebrews 10:29. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You grieve the Holy Spirit when he says to us, don't do certain things, and that's taught in the Bible, and we go ahead and do them anyway. For instance, he says, don't lie. If you lie, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He is grieved, just like a person. Just like a mother would be grieved if her child lied to her. Her daddy would be grieved if a daughter lied to him. We grieve. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Not only that, we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. I think on any given Sunday, there are a lot of people during an invitation that quench the Holy Spirit of God. What's the difference in grieving and quenching? Quenching is when he tells us to do something and we don't do it. For instance, he says, witness to somebody, and we know he tells us in our heart we ought to witness to them, and we don't do it. Then we are guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us during an invitation, and he says, come forward and pray and do something about that message, that truth you heard, and we don't do it. Then we quench the Holy Spirit. He is a person, and he is treated. He receives the treatment of a person, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Now let's finish up in about 4 or 5 minutes here. The activities of the Holy Spirit. What in the world is the Holy Spirit doing in the world? What is he doing here in our world? Well, A, under that, the Holy Spirit is at work in the world at large. He is at work in the world at large. One, he strives for mankind restraining sin, or strives with mankind restraining sin. Genesis 6:3, he will not always fulfill this role. God said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He says, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. But something that's more relative, I think, even to today is 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And the Bible says that one of these days, the Holy Spirit, he that restrains, is going to be taken out of the way. When the church goes up, all born-again believers, the body of Christ, of all born-again believers, and the Holy Spirit goes up, and we are raptured, and the Holy Spirit leaves this world, then sin will no longer be restrained. You think it's bad now, folks. We haven't seen anything. The Holy Spirit is holding back evil today. And when he departs from this globe in this world, then all hell is going to break loose. And he's going, when Christians leave through the rapture, he is taken out of the way. We cannot imagine what's going to happen all the way down to the battle of Armageddon. And so right now the Holy Spirit is holding things back, restraining. One of these days, and who knows when, could be today, the rapture is going to take place and that'll change. And then he convicts mankind. The Holy Spirit convicts us. John 16 verses 8 through 11, back in our text verses. And he says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit convicts mankind, and he is actively at work convicting people today about their state of unbelief. He convicts Christians about our sins. The Holy Spirit is very busy and active in our world today. He also witnesses to mankind. The Holy Spirit does. Acts 5:32, he witnesses to mankind. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts 20:23 says that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city. That is, those who are witnessing for him, preaching the gospel, he is there too. Doesn't matter where it is, Los Angeles or New York, or whether it's Seattle or Orlando, Florida, and all in between. He witnesses, and he witnesses to people in our area, in Fort Worth, Dallas, and the whole metroplex. And so the Holy Spirit works vertically as he comes down and witnesses, and we work horizontally as we are witnessing to people around us, and we work together. We labor together. The Holy Spirit witnesses, and he is saying to the people, that's true, listen to him, that's right, that's correct. Jesus is the Redeemer, he is the Savior, and you ought to get saved. And so if you go out soul winning, guess what? The Holy Spirit's already there. He goes with you, he goes before you, he works. And thank God he is working when somebody is receiving Christ. Be under in your outline, the Holy Spirit is at work when somebody receives Christ. And there are about five things that occurs almost simultaneously when that happens. Let's hit them quickly so you can fill out your outline. Number one, the Holy Spirit regenerates our spirits. Regeneration is the work of the Spirit of God, whereby men are given God's life and nature and made a part of the family of God. We are regenerated, and it lasts a whole lifetime. And then number two, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Now there is a spiritual baptism and there is a physical baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're baptized, immersed, submerged into the mystical body of Christ. But there is the physical baptism. There are some people say, well, I have been saved and baptized into the body of Christ, and I don't need another one. You don't need another baptism to get saved, but you do need the physical baptism to be in God's will. You cannot be in the will of God until you follow him in believer's baptism, and it's the baptism after you have been saved. And then number three, the Holy Spirit seals us. Praise God for that. Please get this, folks, or you'll always be thinking you've got to be saved over and over and over again. You don't. The Holy Spirit seals us. Seals us like a good jar of jelly. Amen. But his is a perfect seal. Ephesians 1:13-14, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, a down payment. God seals us with the Holy Spirit as earnest to guarantee us we're going to make it to heaven. And I'm going there. You don't look too excited about it, but you're going there too. Amen. Hallelujah. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to heaven, and nobody can take that away from us. The Holy Spirit has done that. You don't lose your salvation. You might lose the joy, but you don't lose your salvation. And then the Holy Spirit indwells us. We've already talked about that. And the Holy Spirit gifts us. He gives us all gifts, or at least one gift. And the problem is that we sometimes don't use those gifts for his glory. We just sort of don't use them. But he gives us gifts to use through the local New Testament church. And he is at work in the lives of the Christians. See, he'll control us if we yield to him. He'll teach us if we hear him. He will strengthen us if we submit to him. I'm going very fast. I hope you can fill in the blanks. He will lead us if we will follow him, and he will empower us if we will ask him. He will love through us if we will allow him. He'll assure us, number seven, if we are sensitive to him. He will fill us if we avail ourselves to him. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but some of us are not filled by the Holy Spirit. How do you get filled by the Holy Spirit? You get empty of self, die to self. And as long as we have self, he's not going to fill us. Just like a cup, you're not going to fill it with something else as long as something else is in it. And we got to get all the junk and trash out so he can fill us, and we've got to confess and ask him to do that. All right? If you didn't get all those blanks filled in, I've got the book, and see me later, and I'll let you get those, okay? Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you that he drew us one day, convicted us of our lost condition, showed us the truth about Jesus, and saved our souls. Thank you, dear God, for giving the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to seal us. And thank you for his comforting presence in every situation. In Christ's name, amen.